And I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel 13. We've been going through the book of 2 Samuel on Sunday mornings, and we want to continue to do that. We're not really done with chapter 12 yet. David loses a baby in chapter 12 and goes through a deep valley, and there's a lot to learn there. But because of Father's Day, I want to go to chapter 13 this morning, kind of skip forward. We'll go back and finish up 12 later. And so be turning there. The Pew Bible page number is on the top of your handout. It's Pew Bible page number 366. And so you can be turning there to page number 366 if you're using the Pew Bible. 2 Samuel 13. If you need a handout, lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will see you and make sure they get you one. Just lift your hand up high if we missed you. All right. Everything off but me, right, Alex? Got everything else muted? All the instruments? Can you, Alex, give me a little bit more in the A monitor, just a hair. All right, let me ask you a question this morning. By the way, the men's prayer breakfast is this Tuesday, guys, Countryside Lakes at 6:30. Let me ask you this question as we begin our message. What do you think, don't say it out loud, just think in your mind. What do you think, if I were to ask you this, how would you answer it? What is the foundation of any society or culture? It doesn't matter what country, any society or any culture, what is the foundation of that society or that culture? Now just think about that. Is it small business? Big business? Ladies, is the foundation of society the mall? Walmart. Guys, I'm sorry, the foundation of society is not ESPN, okay? Is the foundation of society or any culture the government? Well, I hope not. Let me ask you a little tougher. Is it the church? Is the church important? The local church is very important, but is it the foundation of society? No. So what is the family, the home? Because the home is the foundation of society, Satan's plans has always been to attack the home and attempt to fracture and disintegrate the home. It's not an accident, folks, that one out of every two homes split up. One out of every two homes disintegrate. They don't make it. And Satan loves that. He attacks the home because the home is the foundation of our of any society or culture. Now, in 2 Samuel 13, King David, his home was in shambles. King David, his home was falling apart at the seams. I mean, it was a wreck. Before we read it, let me just kind of give you a summary of what happens in this chapter. One of David's sons commits an incestual sin by raping his sister. One of David's other sons then has that brother that committed the sin, has him murdered. And then the son that had him murdered, he flees home, he leaves home, runs away from home. He's gone for 3 years. David never even talks to him. Well, when you start reading stuff like that, you think, man, maybe there is hope for my home, right? Doesn't sound, you know. You read that and it's just chaos. Chaos. Was David a man that loved the Lord, yes or no? Yeah, we know David wasn't perfect, but did David have a heart for God, yes or no? You can't read the Psalms and not know that this man had a heart for God. He loved God. But in your handout is a very important statement. Just because David was a man of God with a heart for God, that did not ensure him a peaceful and godly home. Just because David had a heart for God did not ensure him a peaceful and a godly home. Now, what in the world went wrong? Look, there are many people who love the Lord whose kids don't turn out godly. I think we all know that and understand that. There are people who love the Lord whose kids do not turn out to love the Lord. There are many parents, maybe you're here, and your kids really don't love the Lord like you do, and you would give anything if your kids loved God like you did. But they don't. Sometimes it isn't the parents' fault at all. I mean, there's times when it's just simply the free will of the child to choose evil and to choose wrong. You can take two kids raised the same way, in the same home, with the same parents, with the same guidelines, and one will choose to love the Lord, and the other one will choose to rebel against the Lord. When kids grow up, there are other influences in their lives. They have to make their own decisions. They have to do that. And sometimes it's not the parents' fault at all. It's just the child's free will to make a choice. But then there are other times, I think, when as parents, we could possibly maybe have prevented the child in the rebellion by exercising maybe some greater wisdom. You know, God has called us as parents to raise up our children in wisdom. In fact, He said in Ephesians 6 that we're to rear up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the Bible, I'm going to bring up the verse here. The Bible talks about recovering people from the snares of the devil. Look at it. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Do you think that Satan wants to ensnare children and teenagers? Sure. Absolutely. The focus of my message really this morning doesn't have to do with parents taking kids that are already ensnared and recovering them out of the snare. Really, the focus of the message is how can we keep our kids from ever being ensnared by the devil to begin with? The key, of course, is the parents. Hopefully, the church is helping the parent and reinforcing what they're trying to accomplish. Hopefully the youth group, Pastor Rob, the teen ministry, is helping the parent to accomplish those goals. Hopefully whatever school your child attends is helping you in that. But ultimately, I got to tell you, it's up to the parents. We're the ones holding the bag. We are the ones that got to step up to the plate and say, the buck stops here. It's ultimately up to parents. And you know, it's wrong when a kid grows up and chooses to rebel. I think it's a cop-out for a parent to blame the church or the youth pastor for it. Because after all, as a parent, shouldn't you be the primary influence in their life? Amen? Then that's really what you're saying is I just wasn't the influence I ought to be when you blame the youth group or you blame, you know, somebody else. What I want to do is I want to take the chaos in chapter 13 here in David's home, and I want to turn it into some positive principles that we can learn from. Now, I'll tell you this. Some of you are thinking, well, my kids aren't at home anymore, and so this message won't apply to me. So, Pastor Dan, I'm going to go ahead and take a nap. Wake me up when you're done. But I'm going to tell you that the message will apply to all of us in different ways. Grandparents, you know, aunts, uncles, whatever, but it'll apply in your other relationships too if you're not a parent. So I want you to listen closely because I believe there'll be something here for you too, even if you're parent, even if you don't have kids yet or your kids are grown and gone. How do we keep our kids from Satan ensnaring them? How do we keep them out of the bondage of Satan? Number one in your handout, the first principle I see here that we're going to learn as we go through this chapter is that we become a godly role model for our children. Become a godly role model for your child. Grandparents, never underestimate your influence. Now, this is a sad chapter. I'm going to be honest with you. But it's in the Bible. And it's here for a reason. And there's some things I think that we need to learn. Now, listen, let me tell you what happened. Amnon was a young man that was David's oldest son. Amnon had a very carnal, evil, sexual lust for his stepsister Tamar. Look with me at verse number 1. They got the same dad, David, but different mothers. So she's like a half-sister. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. This lust that this young man has for his stepsister ends up leading to rape and incest. Look at verse 11. It says there, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Well, I don't know about that. I think right now she's just trying to do anything she can to get him to stop. Okay, I don't think David would have condoned it for a minute. She's just saying anything she can to try to get this young man to stop. But verse 14 says, howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. We read that and we cringe, as we should. How shameful and how wicked. This young man had a serious lust problem. But I wonder where Amnon learned about carnal, sinful lust. Wonder where he would have learned about those. Anybody got an idea? From dear old dad. Do you remember two chapters ago when David saw the woman, lusted after her, looked on her, lusted after her? Remember the message? How that he was enticed, and then he lusted, and then he drew close to that which tempted him. He brought her into the palace. Then he committed adultery with this other man's wife, and then she ended up pregnant. Oh yeah, Amnon, he learned from old dad there about sexual lust. Only Amnon took it a step further in his immorality. One old preacher once said, father, be careful, or while you're making one lap around the devil's track, your boy will make six. And what he was trying to say in your handout there is that many times the sin that we allow in moderation, our kids will do in excess. That's why the verse is in the Bible that's in your handout here. Look at it. That's why the verse says, say it with me, abstain from all appearance of evil. Did you notice it did not say abstain from evil? Should we abstain from evil, yes or no? But it went a step further. It said, abstain from what? All appearance of evil. In other words, parent, if it's got any hint of evil, just stay away from it. You don't need it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's another verse there. Look at it. God warned and he said, neither give place, that means to give room, to give space, don't give place to the devil. How do we apply that? Well, when our kids act out what they see us watch on the internet, should we really be shocked? When our kids live out in their teenage years what they see us watching on TV or laughing at the movies, should it really surprise us? When our kids listen to our worldly music and then they take it a step further and then they listen to stuff that's utter filth, should that really shock us? When kids see parents curse and swear at each other or curse and swear at other people, should we really be appalled when we hear them doing that outside with their friends, or we hear them doing that to others, or we hear them even doing it to us? Should it really shock us? I mean, I was with a group of 13, 14, and 15-year-old boys recently, and one of the 13-year-old boys just cursed and swore at his dad. I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what he's going to do. He did nothing. The dad did nothing, and he did nothing because he curses and swears all the time. Have you noticed that kids don't imitate what we say, they imitate what we... Yeah, it's in your handout. I want you to write that in. Yeah, our kids don't imitate what we say, they imitate what we do. There's a verse in your handout there that I think you need to look at. It's if you turn the page over there, Colossians 3:21. He says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what?" Okay, there you go. Now, how do we provoke them to anger? Now, I know some of you are thinking, "Oh, that means I shouldn't discipline my child. That means I should give them whatever they want." Is that what it means? No. Kids may not like our rules, but deep down they respect us when we set boundaries and we try to protect them. I know they may not like it, and they may at first not agree, but they know we love them enough, and they know that we care about them enough to set the boundaries. It's not that's going to discourage a kid and make him an angry teenager and an angry adult. You want to know what really angers kids and really brings out hostility in children? One of the surest ways to anger your child and to discourage them is you tell them to do one thing and then you do completely opposite. Do you know who one of the most difficult people is to reach for Christ? Now, I've been doing this over 20 years at this church, and I'm going to tell you what I found in the ministry. One of the most difficult adults to reach is not the adult who was raised in a godless home, who never heard of Christ and never really read the Bible. That's not the most difficult person to reach. The most difficult person to reach is the person who was raised up by parents who claim to know the Lord, they claim to believe the Bible, but they set a hypocritical example. Those kids get bitter at God, they get bitter at the church, and when they get old enough, they don't want to darken the door of the church. When parents, what I call play church, kids notice that, and they learn that very well. They learn from mom and dad, well, church is okay if there's nothing else better to do. You know, if there's no sports ball games going on, if we don't want to go boating, if it's a rainy day and we can't go boating or go to the beach, you know, if there's nothing good on TV, well, then okay. And they learn that these things are more important than worshiping God or learning about Him. And then the kids, when they see a hypocritical example at home, they get to be a teenager or they get to be an adult and they begin to rebel, and then the parent feels like they're losing control, and so they bring that teenager or child into the pastor or into the youth pastor, and of course we want to do everything we can to help, but many times they don't want to listen, and we can't help them. And what it is it's like Jeremiah 7. You know what God told Israel? He said, "But they hearken not, they wouldn't listen, nor incline their ear, but they walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart." He said, "They went backward and not forward." He says, "Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck." Then he said, "They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." Those kids are not going to listen. You've got to be a godly role model. Now, parents, I understand we're not perfect. We never will be. By the way, there are no perfect parents. Can I get an amen to that? Some of you kids think, "I wish I had so-and-so as a parent." I'm going to tell you something right now. There are no perfect parents. You know? And kids who think, "Well, I wish Pastor Dan was my dad," they may come live with me for a week and really change their mind. You know, there's no perfect parents. We make mistakes. We fail. But you know what the difference is when you're sincere? is that as a parent, when you fail or you come up short of what God's Word teaches, our kids see us quickly admit it and get it right. I've had to apologize many times to my children. In fact, that's why I used the word that I used. Look, if you turn your handout back over to the front, and did you notice the first word of that first point there? Look at the very first point. It's in bold. It says parents, and then what's the very next word? Become. Now, why do you think I used that word? I didn't say parents be a godly role model. I said parents become. Why? Because we're all learning and we're all growing. And our kids need to see that. They need to see that we're learning, we're growing. Sometimes I've had to go to my kids and sit them down with tears and just say, you know, daddy's learning too. And daddy shouldn't have said that. Daddy shouldn't have done that. Have you ever apologized to your kids for where you've been wrong? Have they ever seen you just humble yourself and say, I was wrong in what I did. I was wrong in what I said. I was wrong in not being there for you. I was, you know, and they just need to see that sincerity. Kids can deal with our mistakes and faults and failures as long as they see that we're real, we're sincere. And we want to become that godly role model for them. Number two, the second thing, and this is the last one I want to hit on. Next week we'll finish this, but chapter 13 teaches us so much. But I think the second thing this chapter teaches us is that if we want to keep our children from Satan's snares, number two, ensure that your child chooses godly friends. I want you to look at verse 3. This young man Amnon who raped his half-sister, would everybody look at verse 3? And I want you to look at that first phrase. It says, but Amnon had a what? Friend. Say it louder. He had a what? Friend. Now we're going to look at that in a second, what his friend told him to do. But sometimes when a teenager gets involved in destructive lifestyle, sometimes when a teenager gets involved in harmful habits, have you ever heard a parent say this? Yeah, he got involved with the wrong crowd. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard a parent say, boy, she got in with some bad girls? Do you think the friends that we choose, I'm not talking about just kids now, I'm talking about everyone. Do you think the friends that we choose, do you think they have influence in our lives? The Bible teaches they do. In fact, the Bible teaches they impact us spiritually in our walk with the Lord. Look at your handout, Proverbs 13:20. What does it say? He that walketh with wise men. So in other words, your friends around you are wise people. Well, if I walk with wise men, he said, you shall be what? Wise. He said, but a companion of fools, a guy who just hangs around foolish people, well, guess what? That young man or young woman shall be what? Yeah. Destroyed. Look at the next one, Proverbs 22. Make no friendship with an angry man. You get teenagers who fall in with other angry teenagers. They're just got a lot of inner hostility and inner anger for whatever reason. And the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Notice this, lest thou what? Learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Amnon had a friend. What did the friend tell him? Did he say, man, that's perverted. You need to get your mind off your half-sister because that is perverted. That is wrong. You need to get your heart right with the Lord, man. Is that what he told him? No, look at verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. That means he was a schemer. He was a conniver. Verse 4, and he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick, pretend like you're sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and may see it and eat it at her hand. And so basically what he says is, man, act like you're sick and lay there in bed and have your half-sister, stepsister come and bring you food and take care of you. That'll give you an opportunity to be alone with her, and then you can just take her, man. Well, what this friend's advice led to is his friend's advice led him to commit a gross incestuous sin, and then it also led him to be murdered by his brothers. Boy, that's some kind of friend right there, isn't it? He led me to commit rape and then got me murdered. Boy, with friends like that, we don't need enemies, do we? Do you think there's people like Jonadab today? Do you think there are Jonadabs at your kid's school? Let's just put it right down there. Do you think there's Jonadabs in your neighborhood? There are some questions I think we need to ask ourselves about the friendships in our lives. And I'm talking to everybody right now, not just parents. I think there's some questions, and I'm going to bring it up one at a time here, Rachel. Bring them up here. Here's some key questions. Let's bring it up. Does this friendship, does it draw me closer to the Lord, or does it hurt me spiritually? Maybe you formed a friendship recently, and since then your spiritual life's just been doing this. Number two, when I'm with this person, this friend, do we end up discussing things or doing things that we shouldn't do? Do we end up talking about people and gossiping? Do we end up doing and saying things that we shouldn't? I remember growing up, as I've told you, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My dad said he had trusted Christ as a child but never went to church. His family didn't go to church, so he had never grown. So as a child, I was raised up in a home where, you know, it just was a typical non-Christian type of home. And I remember, though, my dad was a very loving man. He was a gentleman. I never heard him curse. I never heard him swear growing up. He just didn't do that. But I remember we had a neighbor named Charlie. And Charlie, he cussed like a sailor. And whenever my dad, I can remember being out in the yard playing as a little kid, and I'd hear my dad talking to Charlie here at the fence. And whenever my dad would talk to Charlie, I'd hear cuss words come out of my dad's mouth. And I can remember as a kid, I'm playing around, and then all of a sudden I'd hear that come out of my dad's mouth, and I'd be like, well, I never heard my dad do that. Well, one day I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was walking into the house with my parents, and I remember I dropped something as I'm trying to get the door, and I remember going, oh, blankety blank. And boy, I tell you what, I caught the wrath of my parents. What are you saying? And I mean, they just, oh boy, they were mad. And you know, I remember thinking, I didn't say it, but I remember thinking as a kid, well, that's just how Dad talks with Charlie. Isn't it amazing the influence friends have in our life? Number three, let me bring up another one here. Has this friendship influenced me to get my priorities out of line? Sometimes we get a friend, and that friend just messes up our priorities, and now all of a sudden maybe our family takes a back seat, or our spouse takes a back seat, or church takes a back seat, and our priorities get all out of whack as our friend maybe influences us to get involved in this or that. And all of a sudden now, man, our priorities are all out of line. That can happen. Number four, does this friendship hurt or help my marriage relationship? For those of you who are married, sometimes what can happen is a friendship can hurt your marriage. Let me ask you a question. If a friendship is hurting your marriage, what's the right thing to do? Yeah. There's nothing that you shouldn't be willing to give up for your spouse. By the way, your spouse ought to be your best friend. And there's nothing, even if your spouse perceives that friendship is hurting your marriage. There's nothing that you shouldn't be willing to give up for that person. And if a friendship's coming between you and your spouse, that's not good. So how's this all, you know, what are the practical conclusions we get from this? Well, look in your handout. Let me give it to you. Number one there, parents had better know who their children's friends are and should guide them in choosing the right kind of friends. You know, I am amazed at how many parents don't know who their children's friends are. They're clueless. They don't know where their kids are. Or if they know where they are, they really don't know anything about the family or the home or the friend that they're with. You've got to know. Let me ask you something. Do you think your kids' friends could influence them for wrong, yes or no? Then do you think you ought to know who their friends are? I think you better know that. You need to know that. But number two is parents should set a godly example to their kids by you carefully choosing your own friendships. You know, earlier I said your spouse ought to be your best friend. Really, can I rephrase that? You know who your best friend ought to be? Jesus Christ. Your walk with Him ought to be number one. But number two, your spouse. And then your kids should see you carefully choosing your friendships. Parents, Satan would love to destroy your child's life. You got to be sober. You got to be vigilant, because here's the thing. You have to be an active part of your children's daily lives. Because if you're not an active part of their life, are you going to know who their friends are? No. If I'm not an active part of my kids' lives, am I going to be able to be a role model for them? Yes or no? No. So you see, the whole idea of becoming a godly role model and helping them choose the right kind of friends, that infers that, yeah, you're spending time with them. You're an active part of their daily life. You're there for them. And you have to be. You got to be on guard. You got to protect your child from the snares of Satan. Because in your handout, it says nobody else is going to protect your child. No one else is going to do it. You got to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. You got to do it. Now, next week we're going to come back. We're going to continue our study of chapter 13. And as I said, this is a sad chapter, but it's in the Bible for a reason. And next week we're going to come back and we're going to look at two more principles about this. So I hope you'll come back. Now, I'll just tell you this. Next week, both the things that we're going to hit on from this chapter will apply across the board to everybody, not just parents. So I hope you'll be back, and I hope you'll continue with us in our study through the book of 2 Samuel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.